You can listen back to that interview online if you like, but don't do that yet because I'm in the live room with Tweedy. Welcome, welcome. How are you?
Good.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Thank you very much for being here. Thank you, Jeff. Hi, Spencer. Have you got my...
Hello.
I'm just checking. Hello, you're behind me, so I have to...
Hi.
I have to kind of turn around like an owl to talk to you. Welcome both. Welcome to the band as well. So you're on tour at the moment. How have the gigs been going?
Well, actually, tomorrow night is our first show on this leg.
Yeah.
So we've been off for a little while. Gigs have all been great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And you're playing the Palladium in London tomorrow?
Correct.
Okay, excellent. You've also got a new single out that is out on the 17th of this month, Low Key. And I do want to ask about the video, because it's particularly excellent.
Great.
How did you get together with Nick Offerman from Parks and Recreation for that?
I was asked to do a role on Parks and Rec last season of a guy in a rock band who has been around a long time.
It's good casting. It's good casting.
Yeah,
to be
it was
fair.
It was a little stretch. It was really. I don't know. I thought I really exhibited. I don't know. For whatever reason, Nick and I hit it off, and we got to be friends. And I woke up one morning with the only idea for a video I've ever had in my life, just related to something I've told people for years that I feel like Wilco, the other band I'm in, has been going door-to-door selling records for 20 years because, I don't know, because we haven't been on a lot of radio stations in the United States. I don't know. It's part of how we've managed to get people to pay attention to us at all is touring a lot.
Okay.
So anyway, so that was just, that's the idea of the video. It's just that we're old-fashioned Fuller Brush salesmen that... taking our rock record around.
Absolutely, knocking on doors. But we're on some pretty sweet wheels, I have to say. You've got a really nice, the two of you.
I wish we got to keep that thing.
Yeah, it's
so
like
cool.
A motorbike and sidecar arrangement.
It was. It's a BMW motorcycle with a sidecar that was exquisite and difficult to get in and out of, though, I have to say. It's more for like a pet, I think.
Yeah.
For a dog with a scarf.
Yeah.
And there's some great cameos in the video. Michael Shannon is terrifying as ever.
That's right.
What's he like in real life? Because having just been through Boardwalk Empire, I just feel like he is Nelson. I know he isn't.
Sweetie pie.
Is he?
He's really sweet. Also terrifying. He's terrifyingly sweet. I don't know. He's a tough guy to read.
Uh-huh.
And I think his face has a resting terror to it. Even like his normal, just like watching something passively, you could get the impression that he's about to lunge forward and strangle you.
That's just his resting face.
Mm-hmm.
So completely. But, you know, in his line of work, very useful.
Very useful. Very, very, definitely a big part of his career, I think.
Well, it's a fantastic single and great record. And obviously, you know, from the album. And I know you're going to play two tracks for us today, both from Suki Rae.
Yes.
What are we going to hear first?
We're going to hear Summer Noon first.
Okay, over to you. This is Tweedy Live on 6 Music.
Cello can play.
absolutely gorgeous. It's Tweedy live in session with Summer Noon from the album Suki Ray. So tell me a little bit about making the album. Jeff, I know that you originally conceived it as a solo record. It was going to be a solo record at first.
I've never really had a deep desire to make a solo record because I've always had, a lot of creative output or outlet in Wilco, and I always thought if I did do a record as a solo record, I'd want to either just play acoustic guitar and have it be very, very stripped down, mm-hmm. or play all of the instruments myself. And this is kind of in between those two things, except I found a loophole in having some of my DNA play the drums. Yeah.
Okay, so how did Spencer get involved? I mean, you guys have been playing music together for that's kind of just a thing that you do, and
it's
and
just
has been
a thing.
For a long time.
Well, Mavis Staples, I've made helped her make her last two records, and mm-hmm. on the last one, her idea was to do something very stripped down. And I eventually fleshed it out a little bit more than we had talked about originally by having Spencer, who was on spring break at the time, just come in and play some drums on a few tracks. And she really loved it, and she really responded to the family element of
yeah.
it, because she's in a family band her whole life.
For sure, yeah.
And But we made all of the basic tracks for that. I played all the instruments, primarily all of the instruments, and Spencer played the drums, and that process was so rewarding that we kind of just, there was really no break, we kept going. So basically it's the same process as the Mavis Staples record, the last Mavis Staples record, except that she didn't come in and replace all of the vocals. It would have been weird if she'd done that on Suki Ray, I think.
Well, yeah. Spencer, just to bring you in from your perspective, I mean, obviously we don't have spring break over here, but from my understanding of it is, at that point, spring break, you're supposed to be like in a toga at some kind of party, doing things that you'll regret in 10 years' time. Not just sort of starting with the most amazing record that you could hope to work on with Mavis Staples.
Was that dead?
Oh, this is what high school spring break is, a little different.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Fine, as long as you're going to get the opportunity to do that later, that's fine.
I had a great time. I mean, getting to make a record with Mavis was not something that I thought I would ever get to do, and I was kind of pinching myself every day I came in for the sessions, but I don't know, that was kind of my idea of a toga party, is getting to make records.
And he did Jello shots with Mavis.
Yeah,
sure.
So it would feel like spring break.
Yeah, Mavis, Yvonne, and I. Yeah. The hot tub.
Yeah. So tell me about the recording process on this album. As you said, it is, you know, the kind of dynamic was set with that last album. But what about the sessions for this one? How did they work out?
It stretched out over a pretty long period of time. Wilco toured in the middle of sessions. Spencer was in school. He would come by after school and do a drum take or two until mm-hmm. he went home and finished his homework. And I don't know, the dynamic was really pretty loose. And
yeah.
and I don't know, very liberated from the amount of hand-wringing that goes on around a Wilco record
mm-hmm.
with six people and six, you know, strong-willed people trying to pull something into one shape. And that works remarkably well with Wilco, believe it or not. You know, there's nothing I was really strongly trying to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to get away from that. It just worked out this way. And everyone in Wilco has a side project or two or mm-hmm. three. Nels Klein, every time I see him, he's made 10 records. So it just was nice to get a chance to make a record without that committee.
Okay. I mean, as well as that, obviously, that, you know, the album is named after your other half, right? Suki Ray's her nickname.
Correct.
And you guys were going through a difficult time with her health while you were making the album.
Well, towards the latter half of making the record, really towards the part of the record where I was really finishing up lyrics and doing the vocals and putting the finishing touches on the record, Susie, my wife, Spencer's mom, was diagnosed with cancer, and we started this process of battling lymphoma, and not to get too deep into it, but another separate cancers happening two simultaneously. But she's doing very, very well, just to make sure everyone knows that she's in remission, and we have a good handle on it now. But yeah, it was a very uncertain time, a very stressful and traumatic time. And in a lot of ways, that's why we named the record after her, not as like a, I don't know, eulogy or something, but as more as a to honor the fact that she was on our mind so much that she felt like a presence on the record. Even when we were at the studio working, she was a part of it. And it became something, I think, very helpful for the whole family to know that there's some sense of normalcy. There's something that's being made. We're looking forward to this record coming out, and it helped us a lot.
Absolutely. Well, obviously, you know, all of our best to her, and so glad to hear that she's doing well, and glad
she's
that
a badass. I don't know. I almost felt sorry for cancer, I have to tell you.
That's she sounds absolutely awesome. I mean, as you said, you guys have played music together for quite a while. Spencer, when did it become obvious that drums were your instrument? Because I understand you're a bit of a prodigy when you were really small.
Well, I have no idea, because I was playing them when I was so young. I don't know when I decided, or if I ever really decided that I wanted to play drums.
Okay, in that case, well, I can ask your dad. He's right here. When did it happen?
My wife ran a rock club in Chicago called Lounge Axe, and aside from getting to play the drums, being set up on the floor in the club, she had a drum kit in her office, and. Mm-hmm. And before Spencer could sit at the drums by himself, people would hold him up at the drums, and he would hit them in a way that people would start to, hey, you got to come down here and check this out. It almost looks like this little baby knows what he's doing. But pretty much had drumsticks in his hand since before he could talk. And we sent a drum kit home from the road one time, a little tiny drum kit I found in a store in Seattle, and so he's had a drum kit in his room since he was about 4 years old. So
presumably, you know some people who can give you good soundproofing, though. So that's
I'm not really concerned about soundproofing.
I used to have the drums in the basement, and I would wake up at 6 a.m. and because that's when little kids wake up, and just go and play for like an hour, 2 hours, really.
Nobody
really
ever told you to stop, though.
I know, it's so nice. I'm so lucky. So many kids, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the important thing.
Nice thing.
I can sleep with my head in a kick drum, so
exactly.
Really matter to me. After all these years of touring, you have to learn how to sleep with a certain amount of
background noise, right. For sure. Yeah. Listen, it's wonderful to have you guys here. We're going to have some more music in a little bit, but for now, Tweedy, thank you very, very much.
Thanks for having us.
And you're with Lauren Laverne. I'm back in the live room with Tweedy. Thank you very much for staying with us, gentlemen. Lovely to have you.
Thanks for having us again.
My pleasure. So as well as the Tweedy album release, the single coming out, and the live shows, there's quite a lot of Wilco stuff going on at the moment. Are you celebrating 20 years of the band? Is that right?
We're celebrating, we're acknowledging 20 years.
Ruminating upon.
I don't know if it's a celebration as much as just a reflection.
It's a landmark. I mean,
it is. It's great. I mean, it doesn't feel like 20 years, mm-hmm. and feels like a band that's still got lots of room to grow and territory to explore. So yeah, that's all you can ask for, and we haven't spent a whole lot of time looking back, so it's nice. I guess 20 years is a time to do that.
And what can you tell me about the Wilco Winterlude that's happening in Chicago next month? Because hopefully that won't be too kind of ruminative. It'll be maybe celebratory, I would guess.
We're doing 6 shows in our hometown, we've done stretches of shows in Chicago before, and they usually end up being a lot of deep cuts, a lot of, I don't know. We just did something similar in New York, outside of New York, Port Chester, and played almost 90 songs in 3 shows, and just really get to vary the set list quite a bit. And
it's a really nice idea. It's quite kind of like a soul review or something, or going into town for a good while, enough to get your head of steam up kind of
soul
thing.
Review. I guess.
You know that? No, you know when you'd go and you did, you know, people would go, they'd be in town for 2 weeks and they'd do,
oh,
their,
yeah,
they'd do their thing for a long stretch and really get a chance to get ahead of steam.
The only thing that throws me off when I think about the comparison to that is that those reviews would be playing the same 20 songs every night or 10 songs. And that sounds really refreshing to me after just racking my brains for a week trying to remember 90s.
Well, I'm not comparing the music, of course.
Oh, no.
So what about Wilco's album plans? You know, obviously are planning to make another record. When's that going to be happening?
I think a little bit has already been done of some exploratory sessions and making noise in the studio and seeing how things are going to get put together, and probably all get together in February is the plan, and start hammering out the details.
And what about Tweedy? You know, having done this one record, would you like this to be a project that, you know, you guys reprise and work on again?
Spencer and I, when we were on our most recent break, we pretty much sequenced and put together another record. So.
Oh, wow.
So just have to finish that one. It's almost finished.
It might be more of a case of remembering to take some time off.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I get plenty of time off. I get plenty of time to sit around in this job. I don't know. I just, people say that a lot. Like, there's something weird about spending a lot of time in the studio or doing or touring a lot, but that's what I've always done. I really don't know what else to do, to be honest. I don't know what else to do. It's just
nice, and it's.
I don't know to what extent you have to worry about that, Jeff. It all seems like it's going very well. I just keep doing this.
I just can't think of anything else to do.
I mean, you know, there are some good box sets I could recommend, but I'd say
I listen to tons and tons of music. That's not a problem.
No, I'm talking about TV shows. If you want to, you know, kill some time.
Oh, I don't. I'm sorry, I don't have time for TV.
I'm sure. Too busy making music. Well, let's let you do that now.
I'd like to say hi to Ben Elkington.
Ben is the brother of Jim, your guitar player here.
Yeah.
And he's a regular listener and tweeted to the show.
Never met him, but I just wanted to make sure that he got a shout out.
Yeah.
You're going to meet him.
I'm going to meet him.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, we would love some more music from you guys now. What's it going to be before we let you go, please?
We're going to play Low Key.
Over to you, Tweedy.
Thank you.
Tweedy playing the next single from the album, Low Key. That's out on the 17th of November. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
It's great to have you on the show. Best of luck with the album and, of course, with the gig in London tomorrow night.
Thank you.
Great. Cheers.
Thanks.
Right. You can listen back to that interview online if you like, but don't do that yet because I'm in the live room with Tweedy. Welcome. Welcome. How are you?
Good.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Thank you very much for being here. Thank you, Jeff. Hi, Spencer. Have you got my...
Hello.
I'm just checking. Hello. You're behind me, so I have to...
Hi.
I have to kind of turn around like an owl to talk to you. Welcome both. Welcome to the band as well. So you're on tour at the moment. How have the gigs been going?
Well, actually, tomorrow night is our first show on this leg.
Yeah.
So we've been off for a little while. Gigs have all been great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And you're playing the Palladium in London tomorrow?
Correct.
Okay, excellent. You've also got a new single out that is out on the 17th of this month, Low Key. And I do want to ask about the video because it's particularly excellent.
Great.
How did you get together with Nick Offerman from Parks and Recreation for that?
I was asked to do a role on Parks and Rec last season of a guy in a rock band who has been around a long time.
It's good casting. It's good casting,
yeah,
to be
was
fair.
It was a little stretch. It was really, I don't know. I thought I really exhibited, I don't know, for whatever reason, Nick and I hit it off and we got to be friends. And I woke up one morning with the only idea for a video I've ever had in my life, just related to something I've told people for years that I feel like Wilco, the other band I'm in, has been going door-to-door selling records for 20 years because, I don't know, because we haven't been on a lot of radio stations in the United States. I don't know, it's part of our how we've managed to get people to pay attention to us at all is touring a lot.
Okay.
So anyway, so that's the idea of the video. It's just that we're old-fashioned Fuller Brush salesmen, but taking our rock record around.
Absolutely, knocking on doors. But we're on some pretty sweet wheels, I have to say. You've got a really nice...
wish we got to keep that thing.
Yeah, it's
so
like
cool.
A motorbike and sidecar arrangement.
It was. It's a BMW motorcycle with a sidecar that was exquisite and difficult to get in and out of, though, I have to say. It's more for like a pet, I think.
Yeah.
For a dog with a scarf.
Yeah.
And there's some great cameos in the video. Michael Shannon is terrifying as ever.
That's right.
What's he like in real life? Because having just been through Boardwalk Empire, I just feel like he is Nelson. I know he isn't.
Sweetie Pie.
Is he?
He's really sweet. Also terrifying. He's terrifyingly sweet. I don't know. He's a tough guy to read.
Uh-huh.
And I think his face has a resting terror to it. Even like his normal, just like watching something passively, you could get the impression that he's about to lunge forward and strangle you.
That's just his resting face.
Mm-hmm.
So completely. But, you know, in his line of work, very useful.
Very useful. Very, very, definitely a big part of his career, I think.
Well, it's a fantastic single and great record. And obviously, you know, from the album. And I know you're going to play two tracks for us today, both from Suki Rae.
Yes.
What are we going to hear first?
We're going to hear Summer Noon first.
Okay, over to you. This is Tweedy live on Six Music.
Cello can play.
absolutely gorgeous. It's Tweedy live in session with Summer Noon from the album Suki Ray. So tell me a little bit about making the album. Jeff, I know that you originally conceived it as a solo record. It was going to be a solo record at first.
I've never really had a deep desire to make a solo record because I've always had, a lot of creative output or outlet in Wilco, and I always thought if I did do a record as a solo record, I'd want to either just play acoustic guitar and have it be very, very stripped down, mm-hmm. or play all of the instruments myself. And this is kind of in between those two things, except I found a loophole in having some of my DNA play the drums. Yeah.
Okay, so how did Spencer get involved? I mean, you guys have been playing music together for that's kind of just a thing that you do, and has been for a long time.
Well, Mavis Staples, helped her make her last two records, and mm-hmm. on the last one, her idea was to do something very stripped down. And I eventually fleshed it out a little bit more than we had talked about originally by having Spencer, who was on spring break at the time, just come in and play some drums on a few tracks. And she really loved it, and she really responded to the family element of it, because she's in a family band her whole life.
For sure, yeah.
And But we made all of the basic tracks for that. I played all the instruments, primarily all of the instruments, and Spencer played the drums, and that process was so rewarding that we kind of just, there was really no break, we kept going. So basically it's the same process as the Mavis Staples record, the last Mavis Staples record, except that she didn't come in and replace all of the vocals. It would have been weird if she'd done that on Suki Ray, I think.
Well, yeah. Spencer, just to bring you in, from your perspective, I mean, obviously we don't have spring break over here, but from my understanding of it is, at that point, spring break, you're supposed to be like in a toga at some kind of party, doing things that you'll regret in 10 years' time. Just sort of starting with the most amazing record that you could hope to work on with Mavis Staples.
Was that dead?
Oh, this is, but high school spring break is a little different.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine, as long as you're going to get the opportunity to do that later, that's fine.
I had a great time. I mean, getting to make a record with Mavis was not something that I thought I would ever get to do, and I was kind of pinching myself every day I came in for the sessions, but I don't know, that was kind of my idea of a toga party, is getting to make records.
And he did Jello shots with Mavis.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, sure.
So it would feel like spring break.
Yeah, Mavis, Yvonne, and I, the hot tub.
So tell me about the recording process on this album. As you said, it is, you know, the kind of dynamic was set with that last album, but what about the sessions for this one? How did they work out?
It stretched out over a pretty long period of time. Wilco toured in the middle of sessions. Spencer was in school. He would come by after school and do a drum take or two until he went home and finished his homework. And I don't know, the dynamic was really pretty loose. Very liberated from the amount of hand-wringing that goes on around a Wilco record, mm-hmm. with six people and six, strong-willed people trying to pull something into one shape. And that works remarkably well with Wilco, believe it or not. You know, there's nothing I was really strongly trying to avoid. Mm-hmm. I wanted to get away from that. It just worked out this way. And everyone in Wilco has a side project or two or three. Mm-hmm. Nels Klein, every time I see him, he's made 10 records. So it just was nice to get a chance to make a record without that committee.
Okay. I mean, as well as that, obviously, the album is named after your other half, right? Suki Ray's her nickname.
Correct.
And you guys were going through a difficult time with her health while you were making the album.
Well, towards the latter half of making the record, really towards the part of the record where I was really finishing up lyrics and doing the vocals and putting the finishing touches on the record, Susie, my wife, Spencer's mom, was diagnosed with cancer, and we started this process of battling lymphoma, and not to get too deep into it, but another separate cancers happening two simultaneously. But she's doing very, very well, just to make sure everyone knows that she's in remission, and we have a good handle on it now. But yeah, it was a very uncertain time, a very stressful and traumatic time. And in a lot of ways, that's why we named the record after her, not as like a, I don't know, eulogy or something, but as more as a to honor the fact that she was on our mind so much that she felt like a presence on the record. Even when we were at the studio working, she was a part of it. And it became something, I think, very helpful for the whole family to know that there's some sense of normalcy. There's something that's being made. We're looking forward to this record coming out, and it helped us a lot.
Absolutely. Well, obviously, you know, all of our best to her, and so glad to hear that she's doing well, and glad
she's
that
she's a badass. I don't know. I almost felt sorry for cancer, I have to tell you.
She's absolutely awesome. I mean, as you said, you guys have played music together for quite a while. Spencer, when did it become obvious that drums were your instrument? Because I understand you're a bit of a prodigy when you were really small.
Well, I have no idea, because I was playing them when I was so young. I don't know when I decided, or if I ever really decided that I wanted to play drums.
Okay, in that case, well, I can ask your dad. He's right here. When did it happen?
My wife ran a rock club in Chicago called Lounge Acts, and aside from getting to play the drums, being set up on the floor in the club, she had a drum kit in her office, and and before Spencer could sit at the drums by himself, people would hold him up at the drums, and he would hit them in a way that people would start to, hey, you got to come down here and check this out. It almost looks like this little baby knows what he's doing. But it was really, that's, you know, pretty much had drumsticks in his hand since before he could talk. And we sent a drum kit home from the road one time, a little tiny drum kit I found in a store in Seattle, and so he's had a drum kit in his room since he was about 4 years old. So
presumably, you know some people who can give you good soundproofing, though. So that's,
I'm not really concerned about soundproofing.
I used to have the drums in the basement, and I would wake up at 6 a.m. and because that's when little kids wake up, and just go and play for like an hour, 2 hours, really.
Nobody
really
ever told you to stop, though.
I know, it's so nice. I'm so lucky. So many kids, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the important thing.
Nice thing.
I can sleep with my head in a kick drum, so it doesn't
exactly
really matter to me. After all these years of touring, you have to learn how to sleep with a certain amount of
background noise, right? For sure. Yeah. Listen, it's wonderful to have you guys here. We're going to have some more music in a little bit, but for now, Tweedy, thank you very, very much.
Thanks for having us.
And you're with Lauren Laverne. I'm back in the live room with Tweedy. Thank you very much for staying with us, gentlemen. Lovely to have you.
Thanks for having us again.
My pleasure. So as well as the Tweedy album release, the single coming out, and the live shows, there's quite a lot of Wilco stuff going on at the moment. Are you celebrating 20 years of the band? Is that right?
We're celebrating, we're acknowledging 20 years.
Ruminating upon.
I don't know if it's a celebration as much as just a reflection.
It's a landmark. I mean,
it is. It's great. I mean, it doesn't feel like 20 years, and feels like a band that's still got lots of room to grow and territory to explore. So yeah, that's all you can ask for. And we're, you know, we haven't spent a whole lot of time looking back, so it's nice. I guess 20 years is a time to do that.
And what can you tell me about the Wilco Winterlude that's happening in Chicago next month? Because hopefully that won't be too kind of ruminative. It'll be maybe celebratory, I would guess.
Yeah, we're doing 6 shows in our hometown, we've done stretches of shows in Chicago before, and they usually end up being a lot of deep cuts, a lot of, I don't know. We just did something similar in New York, outside of New York, Port Chester, and played almost 90 songs in 3 shows, and No, just really get to vary the set list quite a bit. And
it's a really nice idea. It's quite kind of like a soul review or something, or going into town for a good while, enough to get your head of steam up kind of
soul thing. Review, I guess.
You know that? No, you know when you'd go and you did, you know, people would go, they'd be in town for 2 weeks and they'd do their thing for a long stretch and really get a chance to get ahead of steam.
The only thing that throws me off when I think about the comparison to that is that those reviews would be playing the same 20 songs every night or 10 songs. And that sounds really refreshing to me after just racking my brains for a week trying to remember 90s.
Well, I'm not comparing the music, of course.
Oh, no.
So what about Wilco's album plans? You obviously are planning to make another record. When's that going to be happening?
I think a little bit has already been done some exploratory sessions and making noise in the studio and seeing how things are going to get put together, and probably all get together in February is the plan, and start hammering out the details.
And what about Tweedy? You know, having done this one record, would you like this to be a project that you guys reprise and work on again?
Spencer and I, when we were on our most recent break, we pretty much sequenced and put together another record. So.
Oh, wow.
So just have to finish that one. It's almost finished.
It might be more of a case of remembering to take some time off.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I get plenty of time off. I get plenty of time to sit around in this job. I don't know. I just people say that a lot. Like there's something weird about spending a lot of time in the studio or touring a lot, but I sort of always done. I really don't know what else to do, to be honest. I don't know what else to do. It's just
nice. And it's,
I don't know to what extent you have to worry about that, Jeff. It all seems like it's going very well. I just keep doing this.
I just can't think of anything else to do.
I mean, there are some good box sets I could recommend, but I'd say
box sets?
Yeah, making records.
I listen to tons and tons of music. That's not a problem.
No, I'm talking about TV shows if you want to, kill some time.
Oh, I'm sorry, I don't have time for TV.
I'm sure. Too busy making music. Well, let's let you do that now.
Well, I'd like to say hi to Ben Elkington.
Ben is the brother of Jim, your guitar player here.
Yeah. Yes.
And he's a regular listener and tweeter to the show.
Never met him, but I just wanted to make sure that he got a shout out.
Yeah.
You're going to meet him.
I'm going to meet him.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, we would love some more music from you guys now. What's it going to be before we let you go, please?
We're going to play Low Key.
Over to you, Tweety. Knee Deep in the next single from the album, Low Key. That's out on the 17th of November. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
It's great to have you on the show. Best of luck with the album and, of course, with the gig in London tomorrow night.
Thank you.
Great. Cheers.
Thanks.
All right.